Part 11 Principle, he said, "The body of sin is the natural body, consisting of flesh and blood and bones, and the living soul is immortal," page 140. "And sin will dwell in the house until the house is plucked down over its head, which is the natural body. And there is not one saint that is absolutely free from the indwelling and working power of sin," page 140. To plead for perfection is inherent holiness, and to serve under Antichrist's colors, and to make void the suffering of Christ. He that holds the saints perfectly fulfilling all the law, in all degrees of obedience and conformity to it, in this life before death, has drunk Antichrist's cup. Page 144. Answer. The saints, after they witness the body of sin put off, and a being made free from sin, glorified God in their bodies, souls, and spirits. And so the body of sin is not the creature, for that causes the creature to groan, before it comes into the liberty of the sons of God, that causes the body of sin, the clothing that comes upon the creature, the old man, which comes by transgression, the first Adam, the light that leads out of transgression, brings the creature into the liberty of the sons of God. And so, who is in Christ is a new creature. And old things pass away, and the body is the temple of God, a holy temple. And the living soul is immortal, yet many of your generation say it is human, that is, earthly, yes, that Christ's soul was human, as you may see in this book, in the principles of those who call themselves teachers and pastors, whose souls are in death, and in whom life and immortality are not come to light, through the power of God, which is the gospel. So you have showed your ignorance of the soul. And they who witness the perfect holiness and preach up that, come from under Antichrist's kingdom. They who preach up imperfection, wear Antichrist's clothing and his colors, and sound the trumpet of Antichrist. And who are in the righteousness, are in the perfection itself, without a thing merited by man in his will. And who loves God, keeps his commandments, and to him they are not grievous. And this was the seed that kept the commandments of God, that Antichrist, beast, mother of harlots, and false prophets made war against, as you may read in Revelation. But this seed are a burdensome stone unto you all, the seed that keep the commands of God, that love God, and they who are born of God do not commit sin. And the natural body, which is flesh, blood, and bone, is not the body of sin to be put off. It was never read so in the scripture, that that was the body which was to be put off. For the saints still had bodies after they witnessed the body of sin put off and were made free from sin. Principle, he said, that R.F. is against the doctrine of sin continuing in the godly till death, page 148. Answer. That doctrine of sin was never preached up by the apostle, that it should continue in the godly till death. I say, it does not continue in the godly, for the godly are like God, out of sin. It continues in the ungodly who are not like God. He who is in Christ is at the end of the law and the precepts and the statutes and the ordinances and the commandments and is in the substance, God's righteousness. Principle, he said, the letter is no dead letter and it has life in itself. And if there is only this letter or ministry, it is Christ's two-edged sword, pages 153, 155. It serves unto his design of searching hearts. And the apostle would take people off from the conceit of perfect attainments, page 162, and may not filthy hearts transform themselves in imagining perfection, as the devil into an angel of light? The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. 2 Cor 3:6. Notice scripture does not say the letter has life or gives life, but this man says, the letter has life in itself. A knife can kill, but it is dead with no life. And certainly a knife cannot give life. So it is with scripture, it can kill, but it is dead with no life. He says the letter searches a heart. A book cannot search your heart, but God can search your heart, and he does search your heart. Click here to see a few of the many scriptures that testify to this absolute fact. Answer. The devil transforming himself into an angel of light, or into a similarity, is like all the filthy hearts who imagine perfection without them, not within them, and speak of Christ without them, not within them, as the devil did. But it was the doctrine of the apostle, who preached Christ the covenant of God, to bring people from what made nothing perfect to what was perfect, and told them be perfect and of one mind, and he spoke wisdom among those who were perfect. So he did not bring the people from it, but to it. The letter itself is dead, as it is of paper and ink. All ministers of letters and books written in paper and ink, and who speak from letters of paper and ink, and have not received from God what they preach, are ministers of the letter. And they are the ministers of death. Though they minister all the letters written in the scripture, and have only the sheep's clothing, and do not create children of God, but only make proselytes as such ministers did in old time among the Jews. But those who were ministers of the Spirit that gave forth the Scriptures had the sword of the Spirit, which the Jews, the ministers of the letter, had not. They who are out of the Spirit, though they have all the Scriptures given forth from it, are out of the spiritual weapons. And what searches the heart is what gave forth the Scriptures, which led all the holy men of God to speak them forth, who is the Lord, the searcher of the hearts. Which Spirit owns all the words of the Scriptures of truth declared forth from the Spirit. But the Spirit was before the Scripture was given forth. Principle, he said, men that are redeemed from all earthly worships, perfectly justified before God, sincere in their sanctification, yet they are in sexual lust and blemishes and conflicts. Page 166. And the Word of God does not abide in those who say they have no sin. Page 179. Answer. They who are redeemed out of all earthly worships and sanctified are redeemed from blemishes, from conflicts, from sexual lusts. And by their redemption, they come to witness the kingdom of God that stands in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, out of conflicts. And they who are in the Spirit are in what mortifies sin. And the Word of God makes clean where it dwells. They are sanctified by the Word and made clean. It comes and finds the sin and takes it away and makes clean and hammers it down, cuts it down, burns it up, reconciles to the Father, whom sin and iniquity separated from. Principle, he said, sacramental water and sprinkling baptism and water shows are being engrafted into the body mystical, pages 176, 178, which consists of a sign of a thing signified. Answer, sprinkling infants is a sign of your own making, and sacramental water the Scripture does not hold forth, but it is a thing presumed above what is written. And that sign, a tradition, does not bring into the body mystical, but leads from it, neither does any elementary thing. But what baptizes into the body is the Spirit, whereby all come to be one. And that baptizes not into an elementary body, but into a glorious body, the spiritual body. There are lying signs that have come since the days of the apostles, which are out of the apostles' practice. You can show nothing for Scripture support of your sprinkling with your sacramental water. But the one baptism of which the Scripture declares is owned in its place, and that of the Spirit and fire that burns up the sin after gathering the work of God into the garner. Principle. He said, bread and wine are spiritual institutions, and are not carnal in a sense as set in opposition to spiritual institution, and that is not mere carnal bread and wine after Christ's institution to be used, nor an ordinary bread and wine. He said, in the Lord's Supper is Christ's body, and it is his blood. Page 188. And this is my body and blood, the word of a command is, do this. Page 191. And Christ fed not the souls with wheat bread and red wine. He said, do this in remembrance of me, and do this as often as you drink it. Per Paul, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you remember the Lord's death until he comes. This speaks as we eat and drink, we should remember the Lord's death until he appears in our hearts, until we see the face of God, as he brings our salvation, as he brings our eternal life. This does not reference a ritual to be performed in supposed worship services, but rather every time we eat or drink, we are to remember the Lord's death until he appears in our hearts. Once that occurs, we are in him, with nothing needed to remind us of him, since we live in him and he lives in us. Answer. By all this, how are you any different than the Roman Church? Have not you laid their same foundation and laid their same ground? Bread and wine are only bread and wine, temporal things, things seen and may turn to ashes, but the body and blood of Christ will not do so. Bread is not spiritual and wine is not spiritual, both are but are things seen and visible. Who eats the flesh of Christ and drinks his blood, hungers no more and thirsts no more, but who eats temporal bread and wine, hungers more and thirsts more. Christ did say, as often as you do eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes. And what the apostle had received of the Lord, he delivered to the Corinthians. As often as they ate that and drank that, they were to do it in remembrance of him, showing the Lord's death until he comes. But then said the same apostle to the same Corinthians in his last epistle, examine yourselves. Do you not know that Christ is in you unless you are reprobates? And said, while we look not at the things which are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. So bread and wine are things that are seen, are things temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Now bread and wine are only bread and wine, not spiritual after supposed consecration. It is still the same bread that it was before, and is no nearer the body of Christ after they have consecrated it than it was before. Who is in the life and power of God that gives every creature its being and causes every creature to come forth, is in the life and virtue of all creatures, and the being of all creatures, and the wisdom of all the creation that is spiritual. He who gives every creature its being and causes every creature to come forth and gives the sense and feeling of all creatures is spiritual. And here the soul comes to be known, and the seed Christ, and his body and his blood. Principle, he said, the worship of God in the Spirit stands out of man's will, and they must wait in the light to feel the Spirit. But let all lost souls beware of this counsel. And to bring people to the commands of the Spirit is opposite to the Scripture letter, page 204. To bring people to the commands of the Spirit is opposite to the Scripture letter. There are close to 100 scriptures which warn people to heed, listen to, obey the voice of the Lord, which is to obey the commands of the Spirit. This man and the whore of Babylon ignore them all in an effort to hold up a different Jesus, created from a subset of scriptures, ignoring hundreds others that conflict and twisting others into the opposite of their meaning. Their created Jesus is without power to speak to them. Their God doesn't teach them. Their God doesn't cleanse them of sin or purify them or perfect them. Their God has the form but no power. And those who follow these ministers of this other Jesus will not realize their error until they die, at which point the real Jesus, who has power, will say to them, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I have never known you." Answer. All true worshipers of God that he seeks to worship him are in the Spirit, and in the truth what the devil is out of which man's will is out of. And in the Spirit that gave forth the Scriptures, all poor souls come to worship God aright, and magnify God, and glorify God, and to pray in the Spirit, and to stand in the counsel of God. For no prophecy of the Scriptures came forth by the prophet's own imagination. What led them to speak forth Scriptures was beyond man's will. So when men use their own imaginations and wills to read the Scriptures, which no prophecy of it came by, they cannot worship God in the truth, nor in the Spirit, but in their own wills will worship. But who are in the Spirit and truth that led them to speak forth the Scriptures, which were learned of God the Father of spirits, and God of all truth? This is not will worship. Now, will worship is among those who have the Scriptures given forth by the Spirit of God in their own wills, which no prophecy of it came by, and they sing, pray, preach, and read in their own wills, which are out of the Spirit that gave it forth. Therefore they are in a will worship, out of the worship of God in the Spirit. Such people and practices are in conflict with the Scriptures and cannot agree with the letter of the Scriptures. Instead, they are fighting about words, falling into sects and heaps about the words. But the worship of God is in the Spirit that gave forth Scriptures, and they who have learned of God the Father of spirits own all the Scriptures in their place and are not in conflict to them. Principle, he said, never were psalms sung as they ought to be unless they had some musical tune or poetry, page 205. And the Holy Ghost made overseers and elders over the church, but that was not direct, page 207. That no man can read out of Scripture that Paul was free from covetousness. He said, no man can read out of Scripture that Paul was free from covetousness. Without shame, this man is trying to justify his own covetousness by trying to lower Paul to being covetous. Yet covetousness is condemned by Paul, and Jude and Peter tell us blackest darkness is reserved for ministers who are covetous. Here are a few of Paul's statements about his ministry. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised even to this present hour. We both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place, and we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure it. Being defamed, we reply softly in peace. We have been made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things to this day. 1 Cor 4:10-13, for we are not like so many who peddle the word of God for profit, but we are speaking in Christ before God as persons of sincerity, as persons sent from God. 2 Cor 2:17, what is my reward then? Truly, that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel of Christ without charge, so that I do not abuse my right in the gospel. 1 Cor 9:18, neither did we eat any man's bread without paying for it, but labored and toiled night and day, so that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we did not have the right, but to make ourselves an example for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 These 3:8-10. He speaks in context of ministers who will not work, they should not eat. Answer. Paul said, let not covetousness be once named among you as becomes saints, that no covetous one should enter into the kingdom. And he said, covetousness is idolatry. The apostle lived the life of the Son of God through faith, witnessed he was made free from the body of sin, and had victory over it, and thanks God, that there was no condemnation to those who were in Christ Jesus. Paul was in Christ, where there was no condemnation, which covetousness is out of. The Holy Ghost is without intermediaries and makes the officers in the church. The Holy Ghost is the same that was in those who spoke forth scriptures. As the Holy Ghost that leads men to speak forth the scriptures makes elders and overseers in the church, these are not made by men, but these see the fulfilling of the scriptures and come into what fulfills it and are in it. As for your singing your psalms and your poetry and setting them in frame and a musical way, these have come up since the Pope as tunes and organs. Since men have ravened from the Spirit and gone from that, they have gotten up this poetry and turned David's conditions into a tune and given them to people who are ignorant of David's conditions. Psalms are spiritual songs, of which all are ignorant when they are from the Spirit of God that led the holy men of God to speak forth the scripture, with which Spirit of God, all the psalms and spiritual songs and hymns are seen, which from it were given forth and all the scriptures, and in that is the singing in the Spirit. As for the minister's maintenance, the apostle said, have not I power to eat and power to drink? And Christ said, freely you have received, freely give. This was not spoken to the heathen, nor Jews, nor Gentiles who were unconverted, but was spoken among the saints who were a vineyard, and to whom spiritual things had been sown, and to such whose hope they were made partakers of. But hirelings and those that teach for filthy lucre, that mind earthly things, greedy dogs that seek for their gain from their quarter, that bear rule by their means, are all out from this, and were judged by the prophets, Christ and the apostles, to be such spirits as had got the form and taught for the earth and made the earth a wilderness. Such people had not gotten out the wheat and plowed but in vain, which is the plowing of the wicked, which is sin. So there is a great difference between these and those that preach the gospel, the glad tidings, to all nations, which relieved the oppressed. For the oppressed being relieved, life and immortality came to light through the gospel. The wheat was gotten out, the spiritual things sown, the vineyard planted, the flock was known, the milk was known, the corn gotten out. Among such some used their power to eat, some did not, mark, that power that did not oppress, that did not hurt. But all you who preach for tithes, and will take money of those who you do no work for, by a law, and cast into prison if they will not give it, and take treble damages, you do not bring the glad tidings to the nations. Instead, you are the oppressors of the nations of the just, and are not helpers and relievers of the oppressed, and so have made manifest your apostasy, that you are apostates, out of the apostles' doctrine, and out of the gospel, the power of God, which the apostles were in. But now shall the gospel be preached that gives liberty to the oppressed and strikes down all the oppressors. Principle, he said, God sends either through intermediaries or directly, and he sends by man's ministry as an intermediary. Page 211. And said, they pretend to no such call of an apostle, an officer in every church as Paul. And see page 213. And some are converted by intermediaries by those sent by man, with their indirect call. Page 214. Of the early Quakers, each and every converted person had an office in the body of Christ, appointed by the Spirit of God, so that everyone served God in their place and position. Answer. All who are converted directly by the Spirit without intermediaries. There are none converted upon the earth, unless it is by the direct Spirit of God that mortifies sin. And all ministry that is sent of God, and from God, and called of God, where that speaks to them, it is spoken with words directly from God's Spirit. For whoever hears his voice, it is direct and powerful. All ministry of man, sent out by man, which is indirect, never converts any souls to God, for the soul is direct, and indirect does not reach to the immortal soul. But the direct ministry reaches to the direct immortal soul, and so preaches the direct gospel to it, the power of God. All ministers who are sent forth in the power of God, who are moved of God to speak to any by the power of God, the eternal Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that is direct and not of man, and that creates children unto God and converts them. That is direct, not indirect, and they do as the power of God moves them, which is direct, and that is for God in that place. They shall feel the Spirit of God in them witnessing with that power, and the Spirit of God in another, that speaks to them. The power of God is eternal, where it moves, it is one, and the Spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. All you since the days of the apostles, who do not pretend to such a call as the apostles had, and to have such officers as the apostles in every church, which we do believe you do not have, you have shown that the Holy Ghost has not made you overseers, and you have declared yourselves to the world to be such as inwardly ravened from the Spirit of God. You have declared yourselves to only be ministers of the letter, asterisk not of the Spirit, and so only have the sheep's clothing. So you are such as have brought people and nations to be all on heaps, and like waters, not made overseers as the apostles were, not having the call as the apostles had. So not by the Holy Ghost, not by the direct power of God, not preachers of the gospel, as the apostles were, who were direct. Therefore these things have been lacking, the Holy Ghost to make you overseers, and the Spirit the apostles were in, which would cool and quiet all the spirits of the people. For lack of this you are all on heaps about Scripture, but the Holy Ghost opens it again to overseers. So you who have ravened from the Spirit of God inwardly, there is no talk among you to have the call as the apostles had, and to be overseers as they were, that we do believe, your fruits declare it. But the Spirit is witnessed which the apostles were in, which has discovered you and your church. Glory be to the Lord God forever. Asterisk, they are only ministers of the letter, but miserable ministers of the letter. Not only do they ignore thousands of scriptures that don't fit their created God from their little subset of scriptures, but they teach their flock the law is dead, so sin doesn't matter, and then tell them the law requires them to tithe. Principle, he said, direct teaching in the least degree of God directly is contrary to Daniel 9 and Timothy, and said, I am yet to learn the promise of direct teaching of God, page 216, and women are excluded from this kind of prophecy, 218. He said, ministers, pastors, teachers, having the grace of God, gift of prophecy, called out among brethren to office, to oversee a flock as bishops of the Lord's institution, these are not so taught directly, page 220. Daniel 9 speaks of the prophecy of the angel Gabriel, saying to him, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill and understanding. Gabriel then taught, by the Spirit of God in him, what was to come. Daniel read scriptures, but Daniel was massively taught by the Spirit of God. Daniel didn't read from scripture how to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, who told him, You are able for the Spirit of the holy gods is in you. And Daniel didn't read in scripture how to interpret the dreams of King Belshazzar, who told him, I have even heard of you, that the Spirit of the gods is in you, and that light, understanding, and excellent wisdom are found in you. It seems these heathen kings had more understanding of the Spirit of God teaching a man than this supposed minister of Christ. He said, I am yet to learn the promise of direct teaching of God. The man denies many scriptures that promise that exact teaching. Below are a few, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Every man therefore who has heard and has learned from the Father comes to me. John 6, 45 However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. John 16, 13 But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need any man to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, abide in him. 1 John 2, 27 This is what the Lord, your protector, the Holy One of Israel says. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you how to succeed, who leads you by the way that you should go. Isa 48, 17 For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Tit 2, 11-12 Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will instruct sinners in the way. He will guide the meek in what is right, and he will teach the humble his way. PSA 25, 8-9 A false prophet is not humble and meek, and so cannot hear God's teachings. This man obviously knows these scriptures and the many more that reference God teaching man, but he not only ignores them, he methodically contradicts them with his lofty words and high-sounding claims. Answer. All bishops, overseers, and officers that are of God are taught directly, by the same Spirit and power that the apostles were in, and owned and allowed by them. The Holy Ghost is direct that gives them to oversee, and all who feel the grace of God, and do not it not turn it into wantonness a license to sin, feel what is direct. Such as have turned the grace of God into wantonness, and walk despitefully against the Spirit of grace, and set up a heap of teachers after their own lusts, are gone from the direct grace of God that brings salvation. All the teaching of God, in the least degree, is direct, which brings them to open parables, speak forth parables to the nature that is atop of the witness. That Spirit is direct, and though they take an indirect parable or comparison, yet the Spirit is direct that gives them to understand the parable correctly. The gift that was in Timothy, that he was not to neglect, was direct, by which he came to discern on whom he was to lay his hands and on whom he was not, and not suddenly to lay them upon any man. What brought Daniel to understand by writings in books was direct, and what brings to understand the Scriptures is direct. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and that is direct, and prophecy is not to be quenched in the daughter no more than in the son. It is one in the male and the female. We do believe you, and you all, who are apostatized from the apostles' doctrine, in the apostasy, ravened inwardly from the Spirit of God, that you are yet to learn the direct teaching. So are the antichrists standing against the light which Christ Jesus has enlightened everyone withal that comes into the world, the covenant of God in the heart, with which all people shall come to know the Lord and be taught of God, that they need not say, "Know the Lord." Principle, he said, I conclude that direct teaching did not only furnish men for a teacher's or minister's function, but indirect ways also, page 211. And the Quakers think it a lie against God to say, the Spirit is in the letter and Scripture, and is given by it, and make an irrelevant argument about direct teaching, page 222. Paul clearly contradicts this man's assertion that the Spirit is in the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Cor 3, 6, answer. No one is furnished for the work of the ministry of God, but who is in the direct Spirit of God, which is to minister to the Spirit? There is no one made a minister of God by an intermediary or indirect, but only directly by the Spirit. For who have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, to sing in the Spirit or pray in the Spirit, it is direct. All who are out of that are in the earthly, sensual, and devilish perishing knowledge, and that understanding must come to nothing, and that wisdom must be confounded. As for the word function, it is your own and must come to nothing. The Spirit is direct that led the saints to give forth Scripture. The Spirit is not in the letter, but it was in those who gave it forth. Those who do not have the Spirit in them, which was in those that gave it forth, and are disobedient to that, are those who say the Spirit is in the letter. Those who say that direct teaching is irrelevant arguing who are from the Spirit that is direct, raven from it in their own particulars. Such are never likely to create children to God, but are the ministers of the letter, not of the Spirit. And by what the devil and they are out of are they comprehended, who are in the jangling and in the lie. Principle, he said, Christ took up a Bible and preached on a text. And as for uses, points, trials, and motives, you must go to Titus 3, 16. This man takes the one time Jesus read Scripture, and then says, he preached on a text. He did not preach. He read the passage prophesying his ministry out of Isaiah, sat down, and told them that day the prophecy had been fulfilled, and then warned them, leading them to try to kill him. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are filled with scores of instances where Jesus taught and preached, all with words which were not in the Bible, except for the occasional reference he quoted. But when he quoted without the Scriptures in front of him. He preached in houses, hillsides, boats, lakesides, the porch of the temple, courtyards, all without Scriptures being read. Answer: Christ, who came to fulfill, took the book and read, and said it was fulfilled. He did not take a text, as you do, and lay spend preaching, half a year in it, as some of you, and have 10 shillings a day, more or less, for your pains, but he said it was fulfilled. As for that place in Titus, there is not a word of motives, nor points, nor trials, nor uses, as you pretend, though he who was in the faith did study to divide the word aright, in whom was the gift of God which was perfect. This is not like your divination of your brain, for money, which you sell weekly, nor your taking a text and laying half a year in it. You have shown yourself and them to be novices. Principle, he said, though the righteousness is wrought in us by the strength of Christ, and is found in us that are sanctified, yet as to justification of a person, Paul would not be found in it for a world. See page 229. Wrong, Paul and others did seek justification of their persons after they first believed, Paul said. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Gal 2:17. Answer. Filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, and to be found in the righteousness of Christ, that was the thing the apostle strove after, in what ended the law, not in his own righteousness. That righteousness which is wrought in us by the strength of Christ is Christ's, where sanctification is witnessed. This is Christ's, who is the end of the law, and in this was the apostle found, and this he stood for, which was out of the world. Principle. And honor all men. And the fifth commandment he brings for bowing the knee, and said, putting off the hat is but a token of respect. See page 234. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence, but Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said, I am only a man myself. Acts 10:25-27. Honor all men? Yes, but do not give special honor to important men. In the time of the early Quakers, a man never bowed to a storekeeper. A man never bowed to his servants. A man never bowed to a farmer. But ministers and government officials demanded bowing. That was why the early Quakers would not bow to any man, because it was to show partiality or respect of persons, which is a sin. Answer. Honor all men, that is, to have all men in esteem. All men are had in esteem, for Christ has enlightened every man that comes into the world, that they might all through this light believe, and he who does not is condemned. That will bring all men that love it to seek the honor that comes from above. But if they hate the light, they seek the honor that is below, that is of the first Adam in the transgression, and that is the hat. But Christ, the light, who enlightens every man, does not receive honor of men, and the light of Christ, which every man has, will not receive honor of men. Now he who receives the honor of men is of the first Adam from the light in the transgression. Earthly Adam looks for honor of the earth. These are the marks of an unbeliever. The fifth commandment does not speak of bowing the knee. As for Jacob's bowing and David's bowing to Saul, etc., there is a time the elder must serve the younger. As for Joseph and Abraham's bowing before the heathen and the rest of bowings, which you speaks of in the scriptures of the Old Testament, Christ has come, to whom every knee must bow and tongue confess to the glory of God, and not the angels bowed down to nor worshipped. So you have shown whose ministers you are that are crying up bending and bowing the knee. Is not this like kissing of Baal and bowing the knee to Baal? Now Christ is come, to whom every knee must bow. As for addressing people, Master, you have thrown yourselves into that transgression and excluded yourselves from among the brethren. For Christ said, be not you of men called Master, for you have one Master, even Christ, and you are all brethren. Principle, he said, swearing is a part of God's worship, page 235, and Christ was far from overthrowing the worship of God. And it was the formal part of an oath when the Apostle Paul said, God was his witness. See page 238. He is deliberately ignoring Jesus and James' specific commands not to swear. Answer. Christ, who said God was a spirit and would be worshipped in spirit and in the truth, said, swear not at all, who is the oath of God that ended oaths, but said in all your communication, let your yes be yes and no no, for whatsoever is more comes of evil. And the apostle who abode in the doctrine of Christ was so far from swearing that he said, above all things, my brethren, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor by the earth, nor by any other oath. Neither did any of the apostles, though men that were in strife swore, and their oath ended the strife among them. They swore by the greater, that is the true oath, but Christ, in whom is the peace, the covenant of peace, where souls come to be one, and hearts one, who are the true burden in him, are in the oath of God, the end of all oaths. For God, when he could not find a greater, swore by himself that did not change, concerning his covenant with men that does not change, in which men come to have peace with God. So men swear by the greater, whose oaths end their strife and controversy. But God, who could not find a greater, swore by himself concerning his Son, the covenant of God, which ends the strife among men and between God and man, and is the peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Now the swearing of the angels, the swearing of the priests, the swearing of Jacob and Joseph and David and Solomon, Christ is the end of all these, the oath of God in whom their faith stood, and to whom all the angels must bend and bow to him that said, swear not at all. But your swearing now is not like to the Jews, for they swore by the Lord, not by the book of the prophets' writings. Neither did they swear by the tables in which the law was written. Neither did the apostles nor the saints swear by the epistles, nor Christ's words, after they were written and recorded. Now this is worse than the Jews, for they were to swear by the Lord from whom the law came. They were to swear by the Lord of whom the prophets learned, and not by the tables, nor by the prophets' words. The heathens were to swear by Moloch, and to swear by Baal, and kissed Baal, and the children of Israel were to swear by the Lord, not by any writings or declarations of the prophets or Moses. Neither do we read that the saints swore by the epistles, or the revelations, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and kissed the book. For the true Christians that witnessed Christ, the end of the prophets, the end of Moses, a greater than Solomon, him by whom the world was made before it was made, before Abraham was, who reigns over the house of Joseph, and Jacob, to whom the angels must bow, said, "Swear not at all." "This is my beloved Son," said God. "Listen to him and obey him." Principle. He said, "A believer has both the rise and furtherance of his faith and evidence from what is written." And if the scripture is a dead letter, and the word in the heart is one with the scripture, then that in the heart is dead. Page 246. Let them tell the world how the scripture is the declaration without contradiction, and yet the word in the heart. See page 247. He attempts to deceive again. The word in the heart is not one with the scripture. The word in the heart is infinitely greater than the scripture, but the words heard in the heart will never disagree with scripture. Agreement of the lesser with the greater does not make the lesser one with the greater. To be one is to be identical, not just in agreement. The word in the heart is the Spirit of God. The word in the heart discloses all the mysteries of God, none of which are explained in Scripture. The Spirit in your heart speaks to you about the particular details of your life, teaching you what to deny in your life, giving your incremental steps in some denials, encouraging your successes, reminding you of your slips, telling you that God loves you, telling you of you salvation to come. The scripture can do none of this. The word from the Spirit, the word within your heart, speaks in words that it knows you will totally understand, so there is no ambiguity in the mind of the listener. The word within speaks with reminders of you life's experiences, helping you understand each message. However, when man reads a scripture, he is using his carnal mind, which is enmity with God, to interpret what he has read. This carnal mind is the same mind that speaks, beyond yes and no, from the evil one. The evil mind reading scripture has created 41,000 sects of Christendom, each with differing opinions of what the scriptures really mean. Clearly, the word of God, who is the Spirit of Christ in your heart, is not scriptures. He further says, "A believer has both the rise and furtherance of his faith and evidence from what is written." This results only in faith in the scriptures, not faith in Jesus, the living God. Paul tells us, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, which word is in your heart and mouth, so you might obey it." That is the word of faith we preach. Rom 10:8-17 answer. The scripture as it lies and is in itself is a dead letter, but as the word is felt in the heart that gave it forth, then it is its own words. Now those who are away from the word within are in the dead mind, the dead letter. So the words themselves do not give life, but as the words are raised up within, as they were in those who gave them forth. And that is it which gives life, and that sees the scriptures and the fulfilling of them. And then that knows the scriptures that cannot be broken, and in that, the word Christ, the words end. That is it what gives life to all people and saves the soul, which the letter does not, as it is in itself, without what gave it forth. Then it is not dead. The author of a believer's faith is Christ, and he is the giver of it. If one has all that is written and is not in the light Christ, who is the author of his faith, he lacks the foundation of God that stands sure, Christ Jesus, who all the fathers and holy men of God rested in, who were in the faith before any scripture was written. In Christ stood their faith, the foundation of God, Israel's glory, the light of the Gentiles. This is what fulfills all scriptures and ends the faith, the salvation. The ministers of the word took in hand to set forth in order a declaration of the things wrought among them, who had a perfect understanding from the very first, of what Christ both said and did. So this declaration was given forth to be read, believed, fulfilled, and people to enjoy the thing it speaks of, what the apostles preached to Jews and Gentiles, the new covenant, the one offering, the blood of Jesus Christ, him the end of the first priesthood, that Abraham and David saw, Moses had the type of, and the prophets wrote of. Now, those who enjoy him that these all spoke of, saw, and preached, have the end, the comfort of the Scriptures. Here is the declaration seen and known, and here is the substance possessed, and here are the words of God, and here is the word of God that fulfills the words, which word was before the words, in which word the words end, and are all summed up in. Principle, for to say Christ and faith are not to be found in Scriptures, he said, I hope no humble saint will pin his faith upon this, and they crying up thee and thou to a particular. See page 247, he speaks of humble saints. His definition of humble saints are saints who are still locked in their sins, who have conflicts, who have blemishes, who have never been taught by God, either by his voice of his light, who depend on their preacher's teaching instead of God, who swear when asked, and who tithe regularly, and who have no fear of God while sinning. Such humble saints think they are favored by God on a technicality, while their heathen neighbors, living in the same sin, are condemned by God. Answer. Christ was before the Scripture was written, and Christ is life, not found in a dead letter, and he is the end of the Scriptures and the substance of them. Many had the Scriptures, and could not find faith in them, nor Christ, nor life. Christ told the Pharisees he was the life, the Scripture testified of him, but they would not come to him that they might have life, who is the end and substance of the Scriptures, by whom the world was made. As for the words thee and thou, they who are stumbling at them, show they have never learned their accidents grammar of the time, nor Bible. So, short of the language of the Spirit, that teaches to speak sound words that cannot be condemned, who are ignorant of the literal knowledge. Principle, he said, the Scriptures were breathed forth by the Spirit of God, but we receive the Spirit another way than they did that gave forth the Scriptures. The Scriptures were given forth directly, but thus the Scriptures do not come to us, nor the understanding of them. We have books and canons and printed translations in the mother tongue, page 248. Answer. Despite all your books and canons, and if you have all the Scriptures printed in all the languages of the world, but do not have not the same direct inspiration that gave forth the Scriptures, you do not understand the Scriptures. We do believe you, that you have not had a direct inspiration as they had, nor received the Spirit as they did who gave forth the Scriptures, you who are ravened from it. But whoever knows the Scriptures of truth, it is by the same Spirit that gave them forth. With and by this are the Scriptures of truth, the excellent words, known again to what state and condition they were spoken. Through hope, the name of Jesus, and silent listening, I witness revelation, followed by revelation, followed by revelation. Principle, he said, the Spirit is in the letter or the whole Scripture. Page 254. And they who wrote forth the Scriptures were imperfectly holy, but God's word was holy. To conclude, the Spirit is in the letter, and given by it, daily experience demonstrates it. And they who own not the Spirit's dwelling in the letter have lost their faith of the Spirit's presence and run to other gospels and doctrines. The spirit of error is in all men's doctrines that have not the Spirit in them. Page 255. How imperfect can one be and still be imperfectly holy? According to this man, you can still be full of lust, you can swear, you can never have heard voice of God, you can still be covetous. Then perhaps the devil is imperfectly holy according to his definition, or Hitler was imperfectly holy too. The term imperfectly holy is an oxymoron. Imperfectly holy is like being only slightly pregnant. Holy is our God, and holy is perfect like our God, holy is pure like our God, holy is merciful like our God, holy is righteous like our God, holy is only perfectly holy for as Paul said. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God, 2 Cor 7:1. And as Peter said, but as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conduct. But as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conduct. 1 Peter 1:15-17. Once again, this man denies Scripture that plainly states we must be holy like God is holy, and we must perfect holiness in ourselves. Imperfectly holy is like being imperfectly perfect, or unholy pure, or impurely righteous, or unsanctified justification. All imagined states created by the false prophets' vain words to justify continuing to live in sin, and all imagined states that totally ignore the warnings of the apostles, chief of which is F5:5-6. For of this you can be sure, that no sexually immoral or impure or covetous person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Answer. They were holy men of God that gave forth the scriptures, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The apostle said they were holy, and we shall believe him before we believe any of you apostate teachers who say they were not holy. The spirit that was in those who gave forth the scriptures was received of God, the Father of spirits, and dwells in God. They who are from the Spirit of God within, which gave forth the scriptures, are such as follow their own spirits, and use their tongues, and get the good words, the sheep's clothing, deceive the hearts of the simple, and tell them, the Spirit is in the letter, which never did any of the experienced saints say. Rather, the saints spoke of the Spirit dwelling in their hearts, the faith in their hearts, the light in their hearts, the word in their hearts, the anointing within them, God dwelt within them, Christ within them, the law in their hearts, the witness within them, the engrafted word that saved their souls, the gift within, the hidden man in the heart, strength in the inward man, the Holy Ghost moved them, the Spirit of the Father spoke in them. This led them to speak forth scriptures. These never said the Spirit was in the letter, as all the filthy dreamers say, who are in the sensual separation from the Spirit of God, and in Cain's, Kor's, and Balaam's way, turning the grace of God into wantonness, ravened from the Spirit of God inwardly, only wolves in sheep's clothing. These are such as have got the good words, but deceive the hearts of the simple, make a trade of them, tell people the Spirit is in the letter. These have ravened from the Spirit of God in their own particulars, and so they deceive people, and keep them from the Spirit of God in their particulars. But the Spirit that gave forth scriptures is witnessed, by which they are known, they cannot deceive any longer, who are reprobates concerning the faith, who crept into houses before the apostles' decease, who have kept people always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, led away with divers lusts. So have kept people in spiritual Egypt, Sodom, and Gomorrah, and have been guarded with magistrates and powers of the earth all over the world. But now is the light breaking forth and shining that you are all discovered. And so they have set up other gospels and lost the faith that tell people the Spirit is in the letter, when the Spirit and the faith were in those who gave it forth, and are to be in all those who know it again and know God the giver of it. Principle, he said, he who is born of the Spirit is born of the Holy Word written, page 257. A written word cannot create a birth in anyone. The written word kills. The Spirit gives life, 2 Cor 3, 6. That which kills cannot impart life or birth. Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6, 63. So, take heed what you hear, with what measure you use it will be measured to you, and to you who hear more will be given. For he who has, to him more will be given, and he who does not have, from him will be taken even that which he has. Mark 4, 24, 25. Take heed therefore how you hear. For whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Luke 8, 18. Answer, he who is born of the Spirit is born of what gave forth the scriptures, the word which was before the scriptures were given forth, which lets him see the end of the words, so he comes to dwell in God, of whom they learned that gave forth scriptures. Principle. He said, if setting the scripture in the heart of every man be nothing else but telling people they have a light of conscience within them, and stirring up that light which every man has that comes into the world, they delude poor people, who never heard that light called scripture before. Page 257. Answer, they who never heard the scripture outwardly, being turned to the light that every man has that comes into the world, with that they will see Christ, with that they will know scripture, with that they will be led out of all delusion and come into covenant with God, with which they will come to worship God in the Spirit and serve him, and that is more than conscience. Principle. He said, the light which John speaks of, which enlightens every man that comes into the world, is a dim light, and it is a piece of the mystery of iniquity, as subtle as any antichrist, to say that the light shines in the darkness, and shines out of darkness, the light of Christ for salvation. Pages 261, 262. He said, Christ in you, the light in every man, is a poor, base, beggarly scrap. Page 264. He contradicts scripture again, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. John 1, 5. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Cor 4, 6. And so like we heard God's voice from heaven on the mount, we have the more sure prophetic word, the word in your heart, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. 2 Peter 1, 19. Perhaps he cannot grasp the meaning of Scripture because of his darkness, that prevents him from understanding. As Isaiah said of those who don't grasp the words of the Bible, rather than to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. And as Jesus said about the spiritual eye of false prophets, but if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Matt 6:23 answer. The light which enlightens every man that comes into the world is Christ the substance, the righteousness of God, and not beggarly. But all the beggarly are out of the light, and it is not dim, but all are in the dim that are out of him the light, that with which he has enlightened them. All are in the mystery of iniquity, and are antichrists, that do not see the light that enlightens everyone that comes into the world, where it shines, and where it shines out of the darkness. These are the true ministers who are in the Spirit that gave forth the Scriptures, ministers of Christ within, witnessed, and seen. John was not antichrist, nor Paul who said, light shined in darkness, and who said, light shined out of darkness, and who said, this was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Now you are all ignorant of the prophets before John who said, I will give him for a covenant, for a light unto the Gentiles, and a new covenant to the house of Israel, and to the house of Judah. Mark, here was every man. And John, the greatest prophet born of a woman, said, this is the true light that lights everyone. Christ Jesus, him by whom the world was made before it was made, in whom is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Principle, the law written in every man's heart does not condemn all sin, nor the branches of it, nor original sin, nor unbelief, page 266. He said, to say that every man in his first state is natural, and every man in his first state is as a beast, is a contradiction. I everywhere deny the natural light of every man, but I deny the highest degree of light to be here attainable. The saint's light is not to be seen while we are under the sun. He said, he knows he is more brutish than a man, and has not the knowledge of the holy, page 272, and the light that shines in the Scriptures, that I profess myself to know nothing of. The least degree of it is above the highest degree of the light that everyone that comes into the world is enlightened withal, page 273. Answer. The light which everyone that comes into the world is enlightened withal was before degrees and ends degrees and is not natural. For it was before the natural was made or created. And this bears not witness against the natural, the sun, moon, and stars, but owns them in their places. The light which everyone that comes into the world is enlightened with, which comes from Christ the Son, they not believing in it, it is their condemnation. What makes manifest and reproves sin is light. Yes, all sin, branches, and roots, and original, and unbelief, what does make it manifest is light. And where this light is that makes all this manifest, there is the law in the heart, and new covenant written, the law and the spirit of life that makes free from the law of sin and death. Believing and receiving the light which every man is enlightened with, they come into covenant with God, they come to know the law of God in their hearts. For that is the law of God in their hearts, the light which enlightens every man. Every man is in his first state, in the transgression, many are worse than beasts and brutish, and what they know naturally, as brute beasts. You and all of you, who are ravened from the Spirit of God inwardly, what you have known, it has been naturally, as brute beasts. For you are gone from the Spirit that should give you to know and understand, and so that is no contradiction. We do believe you who you are brutish, who look for the light in the letter of Scripture, and say the light of Scripture is higher in the least degree than the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. Woe to you! The light that enlightens every man was before Scripture was given forth. The saints who receive the light that enlightens everyone receive Christ the perfect light, and receive God, and Christ the substance, the end of degrees. You shall never see the saints' light while you are looking at the letter, and are from the life which was in those who gave it forth, and the light shined in the hearts of those who gave forth the Scriptures. Principle, he said, the Scripture light, that is a standing rule for our faith, and there is present light in it to guide men to salvation, and so are not direct revelations and teachings. And the knowledge of Christ and eternal life is given forth in the letter, page 283. Answer. They who had Scriptures, the Jews, did not know salvation, and they did not know the rule, being erred from the Spirit of God. None know salvation, but by the direct teaching and revelation of Christ Jesus the Son of God, who is the salvation. If men have all the scriptures given forth from God, they themselves are not able to make men wise unto salvation without faith, which only Christ is the author of, who is the substance of what the scripture speaks of, and so they are not able of themselves to guide men to salvation. Neither are the scriptures a rule of faith, but Christ is the author of faith, and the Spirit the rule that gave them forth, and all who have them and are not in the direct know them not, neither the gospel. None know eternal life nor Christ, who is the author of life and faith, who was before scripture was, by the scriptures, but as they come into the life that they were in that gave them forth. There is the life found, Christ seen, him by whom the world was made before it was made. For the life was in those who gave forth the scriptures, by which they knew God and eternal life, and Christ the Savior, Abraham, the prophets, and Moses. So the life must be in all now, before they know scriptures, or Christ, or God. Principle, he said, if the letter declares of Christ's fulfilling, then we should need to know no more of Christ than what for substance is in the scriptures. Then there is no need of direct teachings. Page 284. He said, new apostles and doctrine discovered of a righteousness within them, that is their justification. This is as the ringleaders of the Jews among the Galatians, page 286. And the salvation which is to be wrought out with fear and trembling is not the same as made Moses and David, Habakkuk and Paul tremble, page 287. According to Scripture, Scripture is not the way to learn of God. According to Rom 1:19, that which may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Man only learns about God through revelation. The Father is only known by revelation. The Son is only known by revelation. Without revelation, a man knows nothing about God. Answer. The power of God is one, which threw down Paul, shook Habakkuk and Moses and David, whereby these all came to know Christ, which power, who comes into it and into the infiniteness of it, which raises up the seed, which is Christ, whereby the salvation is known and wrought out with fear and trembling. When you all come to know this power that works out the salvation with fear and trembling, your reproaches will be laid aside, for reproaching of such whose salvation is wrought out with fear and trembling. Righteousness within and sanctification within is a new doctrine to you who are inwardly ravened from the Spirit of God since the days of the apostles, and so from the Spirit of faith, from the hearing of faith. As they who drew the people to the circumcision without went from the hearing of faith within, by which they should be justified. So those who have come to the hearing of faith have come to the justification and sanctification within, and look not to the circumcision and baptism without. So this is an old doctrine, and not new but to you apostates. Although the scriptures declare of Christ's fullness, if people have all the scriptures which speak and declare of his fullness, and you say you need know no more of Christ than what for substance is in the scriptures, and so have no need of direct teachings, we believe you. None know the fullness of Christ but they who come into the direct teachings. Your mouths may be full of scripture, and you may use your tongues about the saints' words and run up and down, and the Lord never sent you, saying, thus said the Lord in chapter and verse, and it is sufficient that the scripture speaks of his fullness. Yet I say, neither you nor any upon the earth can ever know his fullness, but as you come to the light with which Christ has enlightened you, in every one of your own particulars, though you may have all the scriptures. For they who knew the fullness of Christ and they who gave forth the scriptures had the Spirit of God in them, so must everyone that knows it in them again. Principle, he said, if the scriptures are a rule for thee and thou, then it is a rule for respect to superiors, and keeping on the hat shows the pride of the heart and a lying spirit. He said, they have not a growth of perfection in this life, but a pressing on, page 290. And he said, the prophets took texts and raised motives. And he said, he who believes not our points from scripture shall be damned, that he must tell him from Christ, page 299. The Quakers refused the custom of the time to remove their hats, but only for important men. Men kept their hats on in their worship services, but removed them in the presence of important people. And so, the Quakes were commanded by Jesus to refuse the hat honor to people, but the Quakers removed their hats in prayer. Thus the switched the honor of hat removal from man to God. This infuriated people, particularly judges, who sent many Quakers to prison for refusal to remove their hats in their courtrooms. he said, he who believes not our points from Scripture shall be damned, that he must tell him from Christ. This man admits he has never heard the voice of God or had direct teaching, so he lies when he says, he must tell him from Christ. Within that lie, he attempts to frighten people into accepting his points from Scripture. Anyone who admits they have never heard the voice of the Lord has just admitted their separation from Jesus and the truth according to Scriptures. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John 10:27, everyone of the truth hears my voice. John 18:37 answer, they who are standing up against thee and thou, and the hat, show the pride of their hearts, and are out of the humility, looking for an earthly honor. But before the honor is the humility. No, the Scripture is not a rule for respecting persons, neither is the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. They who respect persons are out of the faith, and are convinced by the law to be transgressors and committers of sin, and so out of the law and faith. And David saw the end of all that perfection, so he was past the growth of it when he saw its end. And the Scriptures and Christ you know not, who are not come into the direct teachings and have no need of it. Who say, the Scripture it is sufficient that declares of Christ. And the prophets did not take texts and raise motives and uses and reasons and lay in them half a year together and sell them for money, as you do now since the days of the apostles in the apostasy. But now I am come to reason with you, and you shall have a portion, a reward according to your works. And I will slay you with the sword, the words of my mouth, said the Lamb. And your points and reasons and imaginations which you fetch out of Scripture are but to lead people under condemnation and keep them from the direct teaching and the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. And James Parnell's blood, who died in prison, that righteous man, his blood lies upon you, and it shall lie upon your head sparkling, and from under it you shall never come, but you shall own it. And the Spirit of God levels down all the proud and lofty hearts of men, by which people are brought into unity with God and one with another. And the first day in the week which you call the Sabbath, you never read it in the Scriptures as a strict command among the apostles. Principle. And the magistrate is not to level the laws with the light in every man's conscience. Again, if the magistrate is in the light and discern into the mind of Christ and understand his law, is he to compel all the nation and commonwealth to come to the practice of his light? Page 308. Answer. The magistrate of Christ, a magistrate who is united with Christ, is the help government for him, is in the light and power of Christ, and he is to subject all under the power of Christ into his light, else he is not a faithful magistrate. His laws here are agreeable and answerable to that of God in every man. When men act contrary to it, they do evil. So he, the magistrate, is a terror to the evildoers, discerns the precious and just from the vile, and this is a praise to them who do well. Principle, he said, the Scriptures are the more sure word of prophecy that shines in the dark heart until enlightened by the law. And every man's light is the glimmerings of the law and not of the gospel light. And it is the voice of the spirit of unbelief that said, the spirit and the power are not in the declaration. See his appendix. For the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of who do not believe, so that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should not shine in them. 2 Cor 4:4, but it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Tim 1:10, and we heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mount. And so we have the more sure prophetic word, the word in your heart, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. 2 Peter 1:18-19. Note. The prophetic word is like a light that shines in a dark place, which you must pay attention to and obey, hearken, heed. And if you do, then God causes a glorious star to appear, which is Christ, and which light will give you knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. At first we are all in darkness, but as we obey the prophetic word heard in our heart, the Lord changes us gradually, until the light appears, beginning as a flicker, increasing to be brighter than the sun, like a star that arise in your heart, which star is Jesus. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Rev 22, 16. But the false prophets want to deny this clear reference to Christ the Word within, who, when heeded and obeyed, leads to a greater measure of Christ the light, so much light, it is like a bright star. They want to deny this as light and pretend the prophetic word is scripture. They even have said that the scripture is a more sure word than hearing the voice from heaven that Peter, James, and John heard, which voice said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to, believe, and obey him." Luke 9:34-35. Note, the voice of the Father did not say, "Study your scriptures, depend on scriptures, scriptures are sure." In the next two verses, Peter reassures us that the prophetic word we hear and must obey is that same prophetic word the holy men of God received from the Holy Spirit. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture ever comes about by the prophet's own imagination. For prophecy in old times did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and so the prophetic word that you hear also comes from the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20-21. Answer. The Spirit and power were in those who gave forth the declaration, but many have the declaration and want the Spirit and want the power, as the Pharisees did. As all you apostates, inwardly ravened from the Spirit of God, have had the declaration, but not found the power in it, nor Spirit in it, and so are in the unbelief and all on heaps about it. For if you had found the power and the Spirit in it, you had been all one, and quiet before now about religion. Yes, whole Christendom would have been in power, and in the Spirit, and in the bond of peace, and in fellowship one with another, and the Scriptures, and the Spirit, and God. And the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world. Every man being in the light which has enlightened him, he shall feel the word of prophecy. He shall feel the light shining in his heart. He shall feel the day star arise there in his heart. He shall see that no prophecy of the scriptures came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke them forth. He shall see that many may have the scriptures, yet quench the spirit and despise prophesying. He shall see the scripture is but the letter declared forth from the spirit of prophecy, by the prophets, and the spirit of God and the Son, and in the rest of the apostles. And the light that enlightens everyone is the end of the law and of all glimmering lights, and is the light of the gospel. And none know the gospel, the power of God, Christ Jesus, but with the light that comes from him. Here every man comes into his particular comfort. That is the voice of the unbeliever, that, like the Pharisees, thinks to have life in the letter, and will not come to Christ the life, the substance of scriptures, but stops his ear to the light of God in him. Principle, he said, let all know that the work within is not the ground and purchase of true peace, and that God is more pleased with what Christ works without for them than what he works within them. And those that Peter speaks of, that had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Christ, yes, clean and yet are in the natural state, first and last. See Appendix. How does Christ do a work without for them when Christ tells us that what defiles us is in our hearts? For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Mark 7:21-23. Christ is calling for a change of heart, which is a work within a man. Answer. They who have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of Jesus Christ and are clean are out of the natural state, for they have escaped out of that state which they were in first. And such as witness their sanctification and justification wrought within them, witness in this they please God, by the faith in the blood of the Son of God. Now they feel not the comfort, nor the benefit, but by the faith of Christ Jesus, the one offering in which God is pleased, which is acceptable, which is Christ's offering. His sacrifice, his flesh, his blood, his life, his mind must be manifest and received within, before they come to justification, sanctification, and redemption, and the serving of God in the new life. And herein is God glorified, to believe in the only begotten Son of God. And here they honor the Son in believing in him, whom the Father has sent. So those who do not feel Christ in them are reprobates. As for all the rest of your lies and slanders and strife and confusions, who would set one against another? All cool, quiet, and sober spirits will see your confusion, and so your words shall be your own burden, and your lies turn upon your own self. No man shall establish Zion, nor lay a stone there as he is in himself. But the elect make up Zion, and the living stones, where the elect and precious stone is in the midst, which is Christ, laid in Zion. all your Babylonish ways, pretenses, and doings, and all the rest of your brethren, and who are begotten with the same spirit of the great whore, that inwardly ravened from the Spirit of God, who long have had the sheep's clothing upon your backs, who all come from one popish stock, are comprehended now by the Spirit of God that you have all ravened from inwardly. With it are you all fathomed. The whore has been arrayed with the sheep's clothing, and has had power over kindreds, tongues, and peoples, and nations, and multitudes, and brought nations into waters, and peoples, tongues, and multitudes like waters, which have drunk the blood of the prophets, and the saints, and the martyrs. So you are flattering the authorities of the earth, and crouching under them, out of whose mouth goes the unclean spirits. But that is stirred and stirring, and rising in people, which you are all ravened from and gone from, with which you are all comprehended. The judgment of the great whore is come, and her garments shall be plucked off, and what you all have ravened from, high and low, shall answer the judgment, and it is set atop of you all. For such as ravened from the Spirit of God inwardly, got the sheep's clothing, but turned against the saints, and the woman fled into the wilderness. But now the Lamb and the saints shall get the victory. Though now the beast and false prophets and mother of harlots and the devil and the kings of the earth make war against him. He who was dead is alive and lives forevermore. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who rides on conquering and to conquer, who slays and kills with the sword, which is the words of his mouth. Now woe to the dragon and false prophets, beast and mother of harlots, and those who worship the beast, the unclean spirits. Woes, vials, thunders, plagues, and earthquakes are come, and coming upon you. He is manifest and come, that treads the winepress alone without the city, who is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, whose name is called the Word of God. With him are the saints singing victory over the beast, and over the false prophets, great whore, mother of harlots, Babylon, and antichrists. Babylon is fallen, the Lamb and the saints shall have the victory. In the body of witchcraft you are found, as all that read your book, that are in the spirit of discerning may see, whose body is redeemed and reigns over yours in the glory and victory. Ralph Farmer's book, called The Great Mystery of Godliness and Ungodliness, in which are these principles following. P. He said, the soul is of an immortal and spiritual nature. God has made man to serve him in an outward and visible way of worship. Answer. Christ said, God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, and is the spirit without and visible. In the spirit, that makes all that is contrary to bend, is God worshipped. Others who say they are teachers, as you may see in this book, say that the soul is human, yes, the soul of Christ, and you say, the soul of man is immortal and a spiritual nature. Now the soul that gives the sense and feeling of all things is spiritual and immortal as it comes out from God, which is in God's hand, whom Christ is the bishop of. The noble principle that guides it is the light and life. Yet the soul can be destroyed by God. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matt 10:28, principle. He said, the eternal word enlightens all men with the common light of nature. This man cannot accept a spiritual light. He denies scriptures that show the light is totally spiritual. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 8:12, while you have light, believe in the light that you may become the children of light. John 12:36, God is light. 1 John 1:5, answer. The light which every man that comes into the world is enlightened with is not natural. For the light was before anything was made, and all things that were made by it, which lights every man that comes into the world, though he be in the first Adam, in the sin and transgression. Which light to him does make it manifest, which comes from Christ, the second Adam, the way to the Father, who was glorified with the Father before the world began. He came to restore what the first lost. And this is the obedient Son, and the other the disobedient one, which brings the death upon him, and all his posterity and all his house. So the sons of Adam in the transgression may say, and do say, that the light which Christ, the second Adam, the Redeemer and Restorer, the salvation to the ends of the earth, enlightens everyone that comes into the world with, is natural. So that is to deceive people, to keep them from the light, with which they might all see their salvation, and come to receive Christ, by which they might have power to become the sons of God. Principle, the measure and degree it must be without you. And it is a cheating to tell people of God within, and Christ within, and a word within, and they are without, which he calls a mystery of mere confusion and emptiness, page 27. Now he denigrates scripture, accusing scripture, which calls the mystery a glory, of really being only a mystery of mere confusion and emptiness. To whom God would make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Col 1:27. To this man, the mystery of Christ within, the hope of glory, confuses him in his emptiness of Christ within. But not to those meek and humble souls who listen to their Savior within them, who hear his teachings, his encouragements, his convictions, his love for them, and his engrafted word. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity, excess of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. James 1:21. Answer. The degrees and measures were in the saints who spoke forth scriptures and knew the scriptures, but those that have the scriptures and are from their degree and measure in themselves, they are without them. Jesus Christ is within, except you are reprobates. And where Jesus Christ is within, the word is there and God is there. This is the great mystery of godliness. Where the power of God is set, the cross of Christ is felt, for the cross is the power of God. If it is not the same Christ who ascended, it is Antichrist, it is against him and false. Now many hundreds and thousands do witness Christ within, him the apostles preached, the many have their joy and reward, who do possess what they long looked for. All who stand against Christ within, and God within, and the word within, and the cross within, the power of God, are reprobates, and in the mystery of confusion. Principle. The apostle told Timothy to preach the word in season, and out of season, etc., not direct revelation, page 32. And the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they will heap up to themselves teachers, having itching ears, turning to fables, direct revelations, page 35. So those who admit to still having lusts are the subject of the scripture. Those who think they are saints, but who still lust for people and things, are those that cannot endure sound doctrine, which calls for us to mortify the sin in our bodies, to put off the old man of sin, to strip yourselves of your former nature that controlled your conduct, which corrupts itself through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, which calls us to be perfect, and the Father, to be merciful as the Father, to be holy as he is holy, to practice righteousness as he was righteous, to be pure as he is pure, to be as he is in the world. Those still in their sins have the itching ears for someone to tell them they are safe, righteous, favored by God, going to heaven when they die, despite the fact they are still captive to sin and living in their sinful carnal, fleshly nature. Answer. None can preach the word of truth, but they who preach it directly and by the direct Spirit and no direct revelations. All who are in the faith, as Timothy was, are in the direct revelations, the gift of God. The apostle saw that such as would not endure sound doctrine, but would get up teachers after their own lusts, would be such as were covetous, and minded earthly things and evil beasts, that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. Such the apostle told Timothy and Titus, examine before they ministered, prove them, and lay hands on no man suddenly, and keep himself clear, not preferring one before another. Such as went into their own lusts, got up heaps of teachers, lost direct revelation and the direct word of God, and erred from the faith that purifies the heart and gives victory, in which people have unity. Such now as have got into the lusts, that cannot endure sound doctrine, who have lost revelation and speaking the word directly, have ruled and reigned. Of whose generation you, farmer, are. And people have heaped to themselves teachers after their own lusts, and that is the cause of all the strife and wars among them. By denying direct revelation and the preaching the word of God directly, you teachers have declared yourselves openly to the nation to be the false prophets that never heard the voice of God, nor Christ's voice, nor the voice of the Spirit, nor had the ministry of the Spirit, which all speak directly. The apostle saw them come up before his decease. Therefore he charged Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season, which word is direct. So since the days of the apostles and of Timothy and Titus, you have reigned and transformed yourselves as apostles, as the ministers of Christ, and gotten the form, the sheep's clothing, the outside, but no direct revelation. We do really believe you that so it is. So you are all ministers of the letter in your own lusts, for the word of God is direct. You are ignorant of the grace of God which is brought at the revelation of Jesus, and ignorant of the Son of God who reveals the Father, and ignorant of the Spirit of God, which reveals the deep things of God to the ministers of the Spirit. But revelation is ceased, you say, and the rest of your generation discovers it. You say they went after the fables, itching ears, direct revelation. No, those who went from the direct revelation and turned unto fables had itching ears, as all the whole Christendom may witness. How are the itching ears abroad? Their ears are without, and cannot endure sound doctrine, and all inwardly raven from the light which enlightens every man that comes into the world, with which every man might see the author of his faith, in which is the unity. How have you broken into sects and heaps, and into fables and heaps of teachers after your own lusts, and are burning after them, and have broken wedlock with Christ, and ready to burn and prison one another about churches and ministers' maintenance, as whole Christendom discovers. But I say it is better to marry than to burn. Principle, he said, that this God who is the Creator is eternally distinct from all creatures, page 53. That Christ being God only in one man's person remains a distinct person from all creatures and angels, page 55. Answer, this is contrary to Scripture. The saints' bodies are the temples of God, and he will dwell in them and walk in them, and he will be their God, and they shall be his people. And this is to those who witness the new covenant, and Christ in you the hope of glory. And he is within you except you are reprobates. And they who eat not his flesh and drink not his blood have no life in them, and they who eat his flesh have his flesh in them. And the saints are not distinct from him, for they sit with him in heavenly places, and he is in them, and they in him. Christ in you the mystery, the hope of glory, and he is the head of the church, and so not distinct. Principle, he said, God is distinct in his being and blessedness from all creatures. And that God who is the Creator is eternally distinct from all creatures, page 62. Answer, God is a spirit, and he dwells in his saints, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain him. In him we live and move and have our being, who is in all and through all and over all, God blessed forever. The Spirit of the Father speaks in the saints, and he makes his abode with them. The saints have fellowship with the Father, and the Son, so not distinct separate. So these keep people from unity with God, and out of his knowledge, which knowledge of God shall come to cover the earth, as the waters cover the sea. While any are separated from the Lord, it is their misery. And if distinct from him, they are from the Spirit of God in their own particulars, and are not saints. But such as come to walk in the Spirit, have fellowship with him, and live in his presence, and see his face, and behold his glory, and stand in his counsel, and hear instruction, and they are one. He who sanctifies, and they who are sanctified, are all of one. So God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, though sin and iniquity had separated, who breaks down iniquity's bonds and brings light, life, and immortality to the light, through the power which is the gospel, whereby fellowship and unity with God come, and his blessing and blessedness are felt. And so not distinct, for they that have unity with God have unity with his blessing, and they who have fellowship with God know his blessedness. Principle. He said, if any man that comes into the world have a sufficient light within him to lead him to salvation, then there is no absolute need of a Savior, and this is to offer violence to Christ, pages 73, 74. The problem is, this man cannot believe that the Word within and the light within is Christ, as Scripture tells us. Like the Pharisees, busy teaching errors, this man has not heard God's voice or seen God's form, and he does not have his Word abiding in him, and the Father himself who has sent me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, John 5, 37-38. Now if, as Scripture tells us, God and Christ abide in a man, of course Christ can lead us to salvation. And what would you rather depend on for a guide and a teacher? A book or a living, all-powerful, perfect, merciful, all-knowing God, who promises to lead us into all truth, to teach us all things, to show us the way, to guide us, to let us see with his eyes, but to be taught, we must humbly approach him as a sinner and be quiet so we can listen and hear. God does not teach us from a book. Man teaches that way. God teaches us by revelation, by his word and light in our hearts, because that which may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Rom 1:19. And yes, at the end of your journey to God, he will show you the event of the Scriptures Mark show, not describe, not read to you, not tell you about them, show, and then you will fully understand the Scriptures as well as the mysteries of godliness. Answer, every man has a light from Christ the Savior of the soul, him by whom the world was made before it was made, and none see the Savior but with the light which comes from him. None see the offering and the blood of the offering, but with the light which comes from him, and the blood of the second Adam, the Lord from heaven. All that deny the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world know not Christ nor salvation. But being from the light, and out of the light which Christ has enlightened them withal, they are out of the truth, as the devil is. And so the devil can confess Christ without as they do, but not within. None see salvation, nor the Savior Christ Jesus, but with the light which he has enlightened them withal, and that is within. Principle, that the Holy Scriptures are the rule of knowing God. Reading about food and talking about food is not a substitute for eating food. Reading about God and talking about God gives you no knowledge of God. You may think you know words describing him, but until you have experienced him, you do not know him, nor do you truly understand the words you have read. Knowledge about God comes from revelation, because that which may be known of God is revealed in them, for God has shown it to them. Rom 1:19. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither does any man know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Matt 11:27-16, 16-17, Luke 10:22 answer. The Pharisees had the Scriptures, but knew not God, knew not Christ, nor do any but who are in the life that they were in that gave forth Scriptures, with which they learned of God the Father of life and stood in his counsel. Jesus spoke specifically of the problem of not seeing God and hearing God from within, and instead burying your head in the Scriptures in John 5:37-40, and the Father himself who has sent me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are those that testify of me. But you will not come to me, that you might have life. Come, not to sect services, not to prayer meetings, not to altar calls, but come directly to him by silently waiting on him, listening for his voiced commands and teachings. Principle, he said, Christian, would you have another righteousness than that of Christ wrought in you? I know you would and must have if ever you are saved. You must have the righteousness of Christ wrought within you for your sanctification, but rely upon another righteousness for your justification, the righteousness of Christ without you. See page 70. And it is a blasphemous opinion and filthy puddle to say, the righteousness of Christ within. And I had rather to be a Papist than a Quaker. Answer. The righteousness within and sanctification within have been lost since the days of the apostles, in the apostasy, among you and the Papists. And they who witness a righteousness within, sanctification within, are not in the blasphemous opinion, raking in a puddle. And I know you had rather turn to the Papists than to the Quakers, because they were your root which you came from, the Papists, who first erred from the faith, and so lost the righteousness within, and justification and sanctification. I say, none come to witness salvation and to be saved, but who witness Christ within, their sanctification and justification and redemption, and the others are reprobates. All upon the earth that can talk of a righteousness without them, and sanctification and justification without them, and a Christ without them, and not within them, they are reprobates. For Christ is the righteousness of God, and the sanctification, and the justification of man from the law and its works, who stands between God and man. So he is the redemption, who redeems man out of the fall which he fell into, and he does sanctify him, and he does justify him, and this is all found within, and if this not found within, he is reprobate. And so none are saved but who witness this within. They have the letter, the wolves, the sheep's clothing, the ravenous inwardly from the Spirit of God, and those are they who deny it within. Continue to next rebuttals. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and his kingdom.